This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
Salagadoola, mentigaboola, bibbidi-bobbidi-boo. Put them together and what have you got? Bibbidi-bobbidi-boo.
For all of us who remember life before Pixar, you'll recognize this tune. It's from Disney's movie version of Cinderella. The mouse also had his way with Sleeping Beauty, Snow White, and The Little Mermaid. But the two men responsible for first creating these fairy tales are, of course, Wilhelm and Jacob, the brothers Grimm. Now, Boston's Company One has reimagined them with a gritty urban update.
When the king saw how abysmally ugly and black, and not looking at all like Taylor Swift,
or even Dakota Fanning,
and she's very white.
When the king saw how ugly and black his intended bride
was. Seriously, like, she's like translucent.
Seven local playwrights and seven modern retellings of fairy tale favorites or maybe unfavorites. It's all rolled up into one new Company One production named simply Grimm. Joining us to talk about Grimm is artistic director of Company One and show co-director Sean LeCount. Welcome to Radio Boston, Sean.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Also with us is the Boston-based playwright who authored the lines you just heard. Her name is of course, Lydia Diamond. She's assistant professor of playwriting and theater arts at Boston University, and she most recently wrote the critically acclaimed Stickfly, which was performed this past spring at the Huntington Theater, where Diamond is an alumna of the Playwriting Fellows Program. Lydia Diamond, such a pleasure to have you on Radio Boston. Welcome.
Thank you. So nice to be here.
Well, Sean, just let me begin by asking you briefly. I mean, the Brothers Grimm, it just seems like such well-trodden ground. Why take the creative powerhouses like Lydia Diamond and turn them to something as old-fashioned as that?
Well, we found that the Grimm tales, almost like biblical tales, pervade our culture deeply, and that we were interested in finding their relevance to here and now and our specific audience, which is a pretty diverse young audience in Boston.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, just describe how diverse it is for people who haven't been to a Company One production.
It's real diverse. We actually were talking before this and saying how it's one of the more diverse audiences in the nation, actually. About half of our audience is people under the age of 35 and half also are people of color.
Mm-hmm. And so is that why you decided to bring the Grimms into what you call a more urban flavor?
Well, yes. There are 211 fairy tales, and we chose our seven favorite Boston writers, and we asked them all to write a play inspired by either their favorite or the story they were most interested in. And we asked them to give it a Company One twist. And what that meant was a little bit of sass, a little bit of irreverence, and a little bit of political or social relevance, and have fun with it.
Mm-hmm. Well, Lydia Diamond, if I can turn to you, Stickfly is such an amazing play and production, but it seems to be as far away as you can get from the Brothers Grimm as possible. So what made you decide to want to be on board with this?
Well, you know, I almost interrupted, and I remembered I'm on the radio, and interrupting doesn't work so
well.
Oh,
you can interrupt.
Oh, okay, because, you know, the first thing is that I've had the pleasure of working with Company One twice now. This will be my third play that I've done with them. And they're just an amazing company. And beyond being good, solid artists, they have that sort of the sparkle of I would say youth, though, you know, you guys are getting a little long in the tooth. they have an infectious excitement. And really, I've worked in theaters across the country, and I've never seen audiences with such a range of ages and races and socioeconomic things. You know, like it's so exciting. It makes theater feel relevant and vibrant to be able to sit in a house with people who look like the people at your bus stop and enjoy a play that you wrote.
Yeah. So given that, did you know as soon as you were asked which Brothers Grimm tale you wanted to take on?
No, not at all. No, in fact, that was the hardest thing. I downloaded it onto my Kindle, and I read and I read and I read and I read, and I really labored over it. And then I just decided to read the index, and I picked out a title that felt especially provocative and kind of summed up the issues I have with the Brothers Grimm anyway, and kind of took that one on.
And that one ended up being the White Bride and the Black One, which is the title of the original Grimm tale. And your play, The White Bride and the Black Bride, is what came out of that. So tell us a little bit more about the original Grimm fairy tale.
You know, my fairy tale is very close. I worked hard to make it. The whole point for me was that we have a sampling of a Brothers Grimm fairy tale, that we know that we really are hearing something that was created, and also for young children. And I wanted it out of the mouths of young children. So our actors are playing people who are reading, you know, impressionable 11-year-olds who are reading this story out loud. And I felt there was a shock value in that and wanted not to do too much.
Well, what in particular, I mean, maybe there aren't all that many people who've gone back and read the original Grimm fairy tale. So what in particular about The White Bride and The Black Bride is so shocking to you?
Well, I don't want to completely, I don't know that there's anything left to give up around my story. It's pretty obvious. But all through the Grimm's fairy tales, there are some really interesting social dynamics around class. There's some really interesting gender dynamics that are disturbing, interesting gender dynamics, and some really very tangible, disturbing things around race. And, you know, this is a story in which the punishment for doing something bad is that you are turned black and ugly.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that just is an invitation for me to take that on.
There is quite a bit of punishment and pain in the original Grimm tales. I mean, I was remembering back with the Little Mermaid, I believe, that in the Disney version, she gets turned into a person and everything's happy and she just steps out onto the golden glittering sand. But in the true tale, apparently every time she takes a step, it stabs her in the feet and it's a horrible
pain.
There's
a lot of stabbing. Lots of stabbing and biting and...
Well, you had referred to the racial complications in the original Grimm's tale. We've got a little cut here from the beginning of the play that you wrote for Company One. Here are some of the main characters get introduced. There's a stepmother, her daughter, plus her stepdaughter, and God. Let's listen.
When God and the good Abigail Breslin-like stepdaughter reach the village, God, grateful for her kindness, and I think also a little spiteful and wanting to rub it in the nose of the stepmother and daughter, said, "I shall grant you a wish." The maiden said, "I would like to be as beautiful and pure as the sun." And in no time, she was as white and beautiful as the day. That's a quote. In fact, you can just assume most things in this story are attributable to the Grimms, unless it's an obvious popular culture reference and or maybe a desperate joke. And so she was made white and beautiful, sort of like a young Taylor Swift Farrah Fawcett hybrid, but even whiter and blonder and with slightly larger breasts.
Lydia Diamond, Taylor Swift, Farrah Fawcett hybrid. I mean, why'd you choose to bring in all these pop references?
I don't know how I get that, but I will say I fly a lot, and when I fly, the things that get me through it are Xanax and People magazine. So I sometimes am steeped in popular culture.
For other people, it's Gin and Tonic and Us magazine, so it's all right.
Thank you.
But I wonder, overall, in looking back in the process of re-engaging with the original Grimm tales and deciding how to bring it to a Company One audience, what is it in particular that you found maybe challenged you most here?
Oh, my goodness. Wow. I'm going to answer that quickly because I'm on the radio. I think that... the most challenging thing actually for me was finding the piece that I wanted to do, because all of the material is so rife with possibilities, and I wanted to do it justice. Also, whenever you work with people that you admire and enjoy working with, mm-hmm. and appreciate, you want the product to be something that will actually help their cause. And so I felt a little bit of the pressure of it. Oh, it better be good. It better be good. And it's right, you know, it's in the middle of all of these plays written by peers of mine whose work I've admired for years, and so.
Well, Sean LeCount, artistic director of Company One and co-director of this new production, Grimm. So we've heard a little bit about what Lydia Diamond brings to the stage here. Can you tell us about a couple other of the seven plays? That...
Of course. Summer L. Williams and I are co-directing the piece, and we've each we've split the plays in half, and so we have Gregory Maguire, who of course is famous from his novel Wicked. His play about the seven dwarves after Snow White has left, And they start by pining for her and going to visit her and end up wanting to kidnap her. So
I always knew there was something creepy about those dwarves.
And complicated. And from there, it goes down the line. We have local playwrights like John Adekoje, Kirsten Greenwich, Marcus Gardley, John Kuntz. And everyone's plays find something humorous, find something dark, mm-hmm. Melinda Lopez, and they find it's pretty wild how different these plays are. And the biggest challenge for us was finding a through line. And for us, it became the dwarves.
Yeah.
So throughout the night, these dwarves are throughout the night, you see these dwarves traveling different scenes that kind of intertwine everyone's plays.
I was going to ask you about just that, because it seems like with these seven different takes, I mean, Lydia Diamond used a lot of the original text and wanted to really have the story be front and center, and then you have this other one about the seven dwarves, which is sort of a telling of what happens after the Grimm story ends. So how did you really, like, does this mashup work essentially on stage at the end of the day?
It works wonderfully. It is a blast. And that's how it works. We threw out the idea of trying to find what's similar and really celebrate what's different. And these voices of these playwrights and their aesthetics and the wonderful stories they created are wildly different, and it's a mix for a really fun evening of theater.
Okay, well, it's a fun evening of theater I recommend everybody go to. Sean LeCount, Artistic Director of Company One and Co-Director of Grimm, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
And Lydia Diamond, playwright of The White Bride and The Black Bride, one of the plays in Grimm, and also critically acclaimed playwright of Stickfly, and assistant professor of playwriting and theater arts at Boston University. Thank you so much for being with us as well.
Thank you.
And a little bit of breaking news for the end of the hour. CNN is reporting that for the first time in months, there is no oil flowing in the Gulf. We'll see how long that lasts. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at Boston.com. Our program is produced by Adam Ragusea, Jessica Alpert, Dan Mazzi, and Ted Seifer. Our interns are Megan Kane, Jake Mahoney, Talia Rolfe, and Hugh Roberts. Tim Skog is our technical director. The senior producer of Radio Boston is Mark Navin. Iris Adler is our executive producer. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Join us again tomorrow at 3 for more Radio Boston.